Good morning and welcome to Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford. We have in studio this morning a very special guest that I'm very excited to reunite with. I interviewed her back in April of 2019. So it's almost been 2.5 years since I've been able to talk to this brilliant young woman. And I'm so glad to have her back in the studio with us today to talk about some exciting things that are going on with her. And I want to welcome in studio with us this morning the great and the very talented Rebecca Henderson. She is a writer, podcaster, and an independent documentary film producer. And she is here in Denver, so we're lucky to have her. So let's give her our eyes, ears, and attention, and let's give a great welcome to the great and wonderful Mrs. Rebecca E. Henderson. How are you doing, Rebecca?
With an intro like that, how could I not be doing great? Thank you. Oh my goodness.
You are so welcome. Now, we had you in studio back in April of 2019. And back then you were talking about this great documentary film that you were working on called Running With My Girls. Now, we fast forward about 2.5 years later, and this film premiered at the Denver Film Festival starting last week, and it is getting rave reviews. So I want you to take us through the journey you've had over the last 2.5 years and how you got this film to be shown at the very illustrious Denver Film Festival over the last week or so.
I think that we don't have quite enough time to go into deep details for the past 2.5 years, considering we've all been through some pretty terrible traumatizing things. So I'm going to gloss over a little bit of that. But since we last talked about the project Running With My Girls, the elections happened. The Denver municipal elections happened in 2019. We followed the candidates that we were following at the time, Dr. Lisa Calderon, Candy Sedabaca, and Veronica Barella. And so the film itself was sort of completed. Well, it took longer than I thought, I guess we'll say. So we wrapped in June, around June after the runoff elections happened, for people who may or may not remember the elections at that time. If you don't remember, you will need to watch Running With My Girls and it'll bring it all back to you. So we finished the film. We locked picture on it, I think, in the last winter, but then really finishing the graphics, the music, the composition, all of those things took an extra time. I would say we added probably a year onto it because of the pandemic, of sort of getting sidelined. We were unable to continue filming some of the post things that were happening at the time. And then also just finding the strength to sort of carry on as we lost people in our families and, you know, throughout the pandemic. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm prattling on.
No, you're not. Everything you just mentioned is very relevant, because to say that these have been challenging times would be an understatement. And to be able to put out and produce such a powerful, you know, transitioning film, especially after everything that we have been through as a country, as a world, is very remarkable. It is a miracle. It really is. And you always refer to yourself as an underdog. And the women that are featured in this film, you had mentioned them by name. And I just want to recap that real quick, just in case you guys missed that. You featured Candy Sedabaca, Dr. Lisa Calderon, Chantel Lewis, Shayla Richard, and Veronica Barella. All of these women are very significant in Denver and Colorado politics, but they also signified the change in the progressive face and the progressive space of politics, and where we're hoping to take it in the next decade to 20 to 30 years. So your inspiration for doing this film was based out of wanting to give a face to this narrative, but what was another part of the story for you? What was your other sources of inspiration?
So one of the things when people ask me that, I kind of have been thinking back to how I got involved. And it starts with a little neighborhood story, really. I live in a neighborhood in Denver that is currently called Central Park. It used to be called Stapleton, which was the mayor of Denver in the 20s and the 50s, and he was a high-ranking member in the Ku Klux Klan. I was peripherally involved with the name change efforts, and one of the things that happened was our city council person, who represents my District 8's council person, is a black man and was asked how he felt about changing the name of the neighborhood. I don't begrudge him an opinion or what he thinks, but I do feel like it was significant that he said he did not feel like racism was a problem in our neighborhood and that he had not experienced it and that the name Stapleton didn't mean anything bad for him as a black man. A lot of white people cited that as a reason for voting to keep the name because they said a black councilperson said that it was okay, so they felt like it was okay. So I think really thinking back on it, like that was a moment for me where I was like, wow, my black city councilperson is sort of in the way I felt was not representing me. And that bothered me. And I, you know, and the thing things went on and different things happened and on. But I do think back on that because that was something that made me really pay attention to my local elected officials. And I want people to pay attention to their local elected officials because I never did before. I just didn't. And that and I say that in the film, at the very beginning of the film, I'm like, please don't check my voter record. I voted in most elections, but I never paid really good attention to those city council seats, to the regional transportation board, just at the school board even. You know, I just didn't. I thought about my level of politics was for presidential and US Senate seats, basically. So I think that was a big inspiration for me, was really realizing people don't pay attention. And then I was quite transformed by how, when I started paying attention, and I became somebody that I think people also, you know, they'd look to me for the scuttlebutt on the politics, right? They would be like, well, who are you voting for? Can you help me decide who I should vote for?
You pretty much captured the source of your inspiration. You more or less are just saying, this gentleman, even though he may be, you know, African American, he is not as well informed as I feel he should be as a man of color. And he clearly doesn't understand the implication of the name. Either he doesn't understand it, or he's not informed, or maybe he's indifferent to that, and that was an issue.
It was. And, you know, and that was something I saw play out locally because, again, we had local votes to change the name. And my neighbors consistently kept voting to keep the name. And I couldn't understand that, not really. And so, as a result of that, one of the people who was fighting so hard for that is the late great Dr. Gregory Diggs, who was my friend and fought very hard for rename Stapleton. And he was sort of the opposing voice to the current council person. And he was a great admirer of Dr. Lisa Calderon and Candice de la Vaca because he was part of the if we go back to the, do you recall the ink protest
I
when
do.
ink
Coffee shop,
coffee
yes.
shop posted a sign that said happily gentrifying the neighborhood since 2000 and whatever? And that sort of set things off, as far as me connecting with the subjects of the film. It was as a result of my relationship with Dr. Gregory Diggs. I hadn't really thought about it like that, you know, all the way back, but to the, it started with me being involved in Change the Name and then my doing the podcast.
No, well, he obviously was a great inspiration for you. And, you know, I want to also share with everyone, you know, the build up to this great documentary. You have done some other documentaries as well. What Makes a Mother and All Mixed Up Are Changing Racial Identities. And you were also founder of, you know, More Than One Box. And it's an annual event that is designed to provide a space for multiracial and multi-ethnic people. And It also features films and panelists and vendors from Colorado and beyond, which is a great forum. And I've attended this event, and it's wonderful. And if I may add, the inspiration for your film is well rooted in just making sure that people of color are well represented, excuse me, especially women of color, that should have power. And in the movie, you show just how hard it is to capture the attention of the community, sustain it, elevate it, and then cash in on that and convert that into votes. And it's a very difficult, intrusive process. And you were able to capture that beautifully. You and your production team from Tangress Productions, you guys did a phenomenal job. And I have to say, and I'm not one for hyperbole, but my mind was blown by this documentary. And to anyone who has not seen this, you need to see this. It's an absolute must.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Because I think being able to run for office is you're already operating from like a privileged place, right? Even like it is kind of a privilege to think like, oh, I can stand up and speak for my community. And it is something that I encourage people to do. But I also wanted to show how difficult it really is. And it's difficult for everyone, honestly. Like, not for every person who's ever run for office. I'm gonna go ahead and just give them a little bit of love right now. I'm gonna do it across the board. Like, because it is challenging and it's a risk and it's expensive and it's all of those things. And then I want to add an extra layer of that. If you are a woman, you're going to have a much more challenging time. And then if you are a black woman or a brown woman or an old woman, you are going to face challenges that no one else I mentioned previously is going to have. And your race is going to be unique. And if you win, your glory is going to be that much sweeter because you know how hard it was and what you had to do to get there. So I'm glad to hear you say that because I felt like I didn't want to gloss it over. A film that you could compare our film to is Knock Down the House. And that was a documentary that features AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And so it was quite popular. But also when you watch that film, I don't feel like you get the sense of really how hard it is. You feel good watching it. I think my film did show the challenges in a different and more in-depth way, but that's because I was focused and I was with people that I knew.
And the filmmaking process showed that because it was clearly very intimate, but it wasn't intrusive. It was authentic, but not melodramatic. It was real. It was authentic. It was layered. It was captivating and empowering. And those things I know matter to you. And I know those things matter to the people that will see this film. And again, I want to tell you guys, being in media and being in radio, this is one of the best films I have ever seen. I'm not just saying that. This film needs to be seen for social, economic conscious, colorism, classism, genderism, everything that we deal with that is an obstacle for women who are trying to elevate themselves in this world, especially women of color. Women from poverty or modest means or cultural deficiencies need to see this film. Everyone needs to see this film. We will get into this more on the other side of our break. We have in studio with us the great Rebecca Henderson talking about Running With My Girls, the highly, highly received and just fan favorite of the Denver Film Festival by those who have watched it. And we're going to get into more of that on the other side. You are listening to KGNU Public Affair. I am your host, Tish Buford. And let's go ahead and get back into the rest of our interview. Now, you said to me before the premiere, you were nervous about how this was going to be received. I have been raving about it for the last couple of minutes. So How did you feel sitting through the initial screening and watching people react to you and your production team's work?
Well, it was an evening full of emotion for me because we never even thought it would get to play in a theater because of the COVID pandemic. I had given up on ever seeing my work premiere in front of a live audience. So, sorry, I get choked up about it. So that was really powerful. And then for me, because of the way the Denver Film Festival, their COVID precautions, I also sat in a room that where everyone was vaccinated and wearing a mask, and it made me feel like this is a room full of people that cares about other people. So knowing I was sort of in good company in that regard too influenced how I felt. Hearing people laugh in the first few moments of the movie, at a moment that I had wanted to be in the film, its introduction of myself as the director, and when people laughed, I felt so relieved because I felt like people understood and they were going to enjoy the movie. And I just felt like that was the sort of the reaction I wanted. Opening night, we did have all of the main subjects of the film were present. Director Chantel Lewis, Councilwoman Candy C. DeVaca, Dr. Lisa Calderon, Executive Director of Emerge, Shayla Richard was present, and Veronica Barella. And so our audience, of course, was going to be somewhat friendly, I think, but I don't think I was prepared for the amount of applause people gave, how long the laughs went on for the parts that were. I wanted them to be funny and enjoyable. You know, seeing that kind of reaction felt really amazing. And then seeing people's reaction to how the women are represented and feeling so good about what I had done and how people reacted to it was indescribable, really, because it's like, how do you describe like the best, most complete feeling? I guess to the moms out there, maybe, if you've ever had a baby, like it's close to that feeling that you made something and it's beautiful.
So this was your baby.
Yeah.
This was your baby. And
Yeah.
being a woman of color yourself and being in this industry, what would you say has been the biggest challenge in getting this movie off the ground or just being seen and heard and validated for the talent that you brought to the table that was yet unseen?
I mean, I am a total self-taught DIY filmmaker. I have been told to stop saying I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm starting to lean into it where I'm like, actually, I do know what I'm doing. But while I was making the film, I definitely did not feel like that. I felt the same way the women felt as they were running their campaigns, which was like they were building a plane while they were flying it. And I was doing the same thing. I was making a film and learning how to make a film all at the same time. You had mentioned my two previous projects, What Makes a Mother and All Mixed Up Are Changing Racial Identities. Those are very different. Those are shorts, and those are just straight up talking head interviews. I've never done something so verite, something so on the move, something running and gunning. I didn't think I could shoot it myself, and it turned out a lot of the footage that we used was footage that I shot. And so, to the film's benefit and detriment, I guess, because some of it, you know, you can see it when you watch the film. You see the differences in the cameras, in the long form interviews, and how beautifully shot those were. You know, those were professional videographers. When you see me running and you hear my voice, that's me shooting on my camera and shooting on my phone. So I think the fact that I was able to still produce this really beautiful documentary with the graphics and by our amazing, incredible graphic designer, I'm like, Shay Strong, girl, you're amazing. But like kind of, you know, just putting it all together based on what I started with, I think does speak to, I'm gonna give myself some flowers, like does speak to my vision and my tenacity of wanting to like finish it, you know? So I think that sort of demonstrates the kind of filmmaker I am and the kind of person that I am. And but then where's the money? Where's the distribution? And so I think that is that like people make films all the time that never see the light of day, that people never get to see, People make films they don't finish. People make films they can't get out because they're mired in legal complications. That was not the case for me. So I have this completed project, and it's to me, it's the greatest thing I've done to date. So that feels really, really good. But I think where now what's challenging is getting a wide distribution. I do think like that's the part where a lot of filmmakers, especially independent DIY filmmakers, don't necessarily have the information and the knowledge to be able to get their films distributed. Because it's not a transparent kind of business, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that makes sense. And like with most things, it involves money and connections.
Yeah.
And a lot of DIY filmmakers do not have that. And it's hard to get great films and documentaries out the door. But you've achieved something that is very special, because you're a woman of color. You were able to document a very significant moment in Colorado politics history, and as well as in the country. And you've also captured something on film and memorialized. So this film can be shown for many, many, many years and many decades to come, because it's always going to be relevant.
You know, something someone said to me who worked on the film that just really moved me. He said, your film is made for little girls that aren't even born yet. And that, and so like, I think I didn't really believe that until I saw some film reactions and reviews from young women who watched the film, and how moved they were and how excited they were to see someone like me be the director and be the producer and be interviewed on, you know, on the radio. They were so amazed by that, because they don't see it. Maybe we see it at a large Hollywood level, but I guess how often do you see it like in your own community, in your own city, to see people like get recognition or Rebecca-gnition?
That's a good one.
For the work they're doing. And I think my film, one of the things I loved in the film that we got to highlight was the life and career of Veronica Barella. I think that, you know, a lot of people behind the scenes and in the city, you know, statewide even, they know her name, but I just feel like maybe people don't know who she is and what an amazing woman she is. And I wanted to show that. And then something else I wanted to mention, if it's all right, is, you know, we use the term women of color as a blanket statement when we're talking about essentially non-white women. And I'm Black. I'm mixed race. I'm biracial. I identify as Black. And I think one of the things that I hope came across in the film was the intersectional nature of like our struggles as Black and brown women, you know, as we're navigating these systems. And so I guess I'm mentioning that to say, like, this film features Black and brown women and women who are multiracial, multiethnic. And if we're going to go into the crowd shots and the big shots, I mean, we have everyone is represented in Running With My Girls.
Everyone.
But I do. I think that this, I hope people can see how challenging it is. And that while there is no hierarchy of pain, I think we know that there is a racial caste system in this country where white is at the top. And the closer you are to white, you know, the better things are going to go for you. And so I hope that comes across in the film. I mean, I guess you could tell me.
It does come across in a film, and it redefines on what politics are supposed to look like. And it redefines who is supposed to sit at that table, but not only show up, but also have a valid and impactful voice. So you've changed that narrative. You've put a face to that. You are that filmmaker, that inspiration for girls that are not born yet, for Black and brown girls, straight, gay women, transgender women who are not born yet, who will look at this film and go, okay, I stood in front of the great legendary Rebecca Henderson, and she was 50 feet away from me. She was 50 feet away from me at the Denver film festival.
And she was only 50 feet away because she was not trying to catch that coronavirus. Otherwise, she would have been up close and personal.
Not only was she social distancing, but she was in her space. She was engaged and she inspired me. Her presence inspired me, but also the work of a lifetime has come to fruition. And the fact that you were able to receive your roses and receive all of these well-deserved accolades is more than I could say and surmise in a 27-minute interview. But before we leave today, what do you want to leave this audience with? What do you want to tell our listeners today?
I want to tell you to please pay attention to what is going on in your local communities. Look at your city council people. Are they representing you? Show up to a meeting. If there was someone that you supported and you helped get them into office, don't just leave them there floundering. You still have to go to public comment. You still have to encourage people to be engaged. A democracy cannot survive without an educated and engaged public. So that is so important to me, and I hope it's important to everyone who's listening. If you want to see more films like mine too, I mean, one thing I would mention is we did a lot of crowdfunding for the production side of this, and that piece of it, like, go ahead, take a look at those projects on Kickstarter or on Seed and Spark, those film projects, you know, and maybe you might want to back one because you never know. I feel like, you know, people gave $10, $20, $100, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and then they're finally getting to sort of see their investment pay off. And I think it's worth it.
Absolutely. And real quick before we go, if anyone's interested in seeing the film, or interested in possibly distributing it, how would they get a hold of you?
Oh, yeah, that's great. So if you just go onto the website, it's just runningwithmygirls.com. We have a contact submission form. If you are interested in a screening or acquisitions, go ahead and reach out and we'll give you the updates on what's going on with the film and where you can see it.
Fantastic. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so special and I'm so happy for you. Congratulations on the great reviews for your film and good luck with future distributions of this. This is a film that, like I said, needs to be seen by everyone, not just nationally, but worldwide. And it will continue to impact lives for many, many years and generations to come. Thank you again, Rebecca, for being in studio. And thank you all for listening to A Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford. Take care, stay engaged, stay ready to help each other.